This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, my name's Ange Barry, and I'm the CEO of Joy 94.9, Australia's only LGBTIQ community radio station. I'm new to Joy, but Joy's been around for 26 years. We want to be around for another 26 years, and to do that, we need to grow. My vision for the future is for Joy to become Joy Nation, a combination of video, news and editorial, and of course, the great radio station that you love. We are so grateful for the support that our community has provided us over the years, but we are now reaching out to you, our friends in the broader Australian community, to help make this happen. So I'm asking you now to choose Joy by going to joy.org.au and donating to our Chuff campaign, helping us raise $250,000 to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
We don't have Macca, we don't have TAS, but we do have a great show with some important guests. I want to thank you all for coming in and attending, listening in, and we pre-thank you for your messages we're going to hear today. You're on Joy 94.9, official vaccine ambassadors for the pro-vaccination Saturday magazine starts now.
From Joy 94.9, this is Saturday Magazine.
We are coming to you absolutely live from the Victorian Pride Centre on this gorgeous weekend. We are streaming online at joy.org.au and the Joy app, and on podcast. This is Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9's longest running news and current affairs show. We proudly bring you this March the 26th edition of Saturday Magazine. I'm Mark, and my co-host this morning is Warren Andrew. Warren Andrew.
Mark, how are you?
Very well. We've never broadcasted together.
We have never broadcast together. In fact, it's been a while since I've sat in the Joy Studios in the morning as well. So having to get up early, it's been great.
I don't think I've been on air for about 3 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's been quite a while since I did my Saturday afternoon. So I
well, welcome back to the on-air experience. Hey, I hope Macca and Tass, I know they've got a wedding to go to this morning, but you know, we've got some big shoes to fill this morning, and very I hope shoes. That they're not listening on the way to the wedding.
I'm sure they are. Not only that, Fiona is away in Tasmania, but she has lined us up some really special guests for today, some people that make Melbourne a better place and really do lift the tide for all the boats.
That's right. We are going to talk, of course, to Misha Ketchell, the editor of The Conversation. We've got some topics to talk about later on this morning as well. Nick Hollis is going to join us from the Victorian Pride Lobby about a groundbreaking new survey that's going to explore LGBTIQA+ experiences within the Australian insurance industry. So that'll be interesting. It'll be good to get your feedback as well. Also, Mark, yep. Tony Elwood, the director of NGV, is going to join us about the new NGV contemporary plans. Have you seen them?
I have. They're very interesting. I'd love to hear his views.
They look absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Don't understand this whole thing about calling it the Eiffel Tower of Melbourne. Unusual comments. I don't know where that came from. Well, and I want to hear his view.
I do too. Why people say that. I do too, because I had a look and it's nowhere near as tall as the Eiffel Tower, is it?
Looks nothing like the Eiffel Tower.
But it does look great. It looks,
it looks amazing.
It looks really, really.
But can't it be its own thing?
Exactly. And I wonder what's there now, because I believe the land was purchased deliberately to build this. So yep. I wonder what's there now. I can't remember. If anyone knows, let us know. But
rolling, tilting green.
Oh, that's what it is. There's going to be a major park. Of course, Fiona Newton's going to join us as well from Joy's Chicks Talking Footy. And we're going to chat about Tom Morris being sacked, you know, the Sky Sports journalist.
Yeah. Jeez, that's a really interesting journey we've all been on watching that. The world has changed.
It has. And I think it was recorded some time ago and it was leaked via WhatsApp. And you just got to be so... I mean, saying stuff like that, surely a journalist should know better. So anyway, it'll be...
Okay, well, we'll be hearing certain views about that shortly. That's after 11.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, we've also got something really, really interesting. There's a new study, and it looks into LGBTIQ+ representation in Hollywood. And there's some interesting results of this study, Mark, because what it's showing is that films that have LGBTIQA+ representation in them actually perform a lot better at the box office. That's absolutely fascinating. So I'm looking forward to that. And also, what are
take
the implications?
Take that, Bible Belt.
Exactly. Absolutely. But the thing is, I mean, you can imagine, money talks, doesn't it? And once production companies get behind this information, we'll hopefully see more representation.
Yep. You'd hope so.
Yeah, which will be good. Also, we've got another thing as well. We are going to talk about something called Triple Bill, which is coming up at Temperance Hall on April the 7th. So it is an absolutely jam-packed show.
Have you been to Temperance Hall before?
No, I haven't. What's it like?
I haven't been. I want to hear all about it.
Okay.
I'm really intrigued. And today, all day, well, not all day, for the next 2 hours, we want all of the regular listeners who chime in to keep chiming in.
Yeah.
We'll let Macca know what you said.
Yeah, well, I'm waiting for Macca to chime in and say, hey, guys, you're not doing this well. Say this better. The critique is going to flow in.
So your week this week, what journey have you been on there, Was?
You know what, Mark? I took 2 weeks of annual leave. It was the first real 2 weeks of annual leave that I've taken since the beginning of the pandemic.
Right.
And I went over to Western Australia, which I haven't been to probably since I was in my early 20s.
I love WA.
It is beautiful. Mm. You've been before?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
It is amazing. And I've got to tell you, the small businesses over there were so welcoming. They were really welcoming. And they were so grateful that people were, because we were one of the first lots to go over since the borders reopened. They were so grateful to have people visiting from the East Coast and spending their money. And it was so nice to see.
Yeah, it was funny. People had made comments that WA had somehow not lived through the pandemic, but they lived through it in a different way. WA is heavily connected to the rest of the country. And one of the things I think that we all learned is how we are one country, no matter how much they tried to put us into states. These are just stupid borders British people put here a bunch of 60,000 years. We didn't have any of these borders, and now we do. So they worked to assist manage a pandemic.
Yeah,
but apart from that, we're the same people. We're the same country.
Exactly.
And these artificial borders really kept us apart from each other. We are so connected on a regular basis. The amount of people who live in other states who are connected family-wise, marriage-wise, children-wise, colleague-wise, that were cut off from each other. And it just showed us how much we travel between places. I mean, the amount of traffic between Sydney and Melbourne, air traffic, I think is the second highest and most traveled air route, air corridor in the world.
It is so
after
busy.
After Busan and Seoul. I'm happy to be wrong if someone's got better stats than that. But it's one of the top three, if not second air corridors in the world. So Sydney and Melbourne are basically commuter corridors of each other. It's like going to Geelong in many ways. It's something that's a day trip.
Wouldn't a fast train be good?
I don't know. It's a lot of energy to use a fast train that distance. I think fast trains work really well in the European context or the Asian context where there's not the vast amount of space with no population. So I'm happy to be wrong. I love the idea of it, but I don't know if it pencils. It's a lot of land. It's a lot of energy. It's a lot of use of land to go up the east seaboard of Australia. I don't know. I would love to hear someone who knows a lot more than what I
wonder
I think
if we could offset the electricity, though. That's what I'm thinking of, rather than
make it a solar
jet fuel. Make it a solar powered train. Hey, Mark, I will say just on that about the difference between the borders and the borders reopening. It's funny because there is that personal impact, isn't there, of not being able to visit your family and friends, but speaking to people over in WA, they support the state government and what they did. I didn't come across one person that criticised the state government of WA and their border closure policies. And they're quite strong in their views still, even after them opening.
My last job was involved in dealing with WA, and there were very few people. There were particular businesses that were really impacted, travel being one, and we had to provide a lot of support for travel agents because no one was going in and out. But a lot of people just got on with life in a pretty healthy way. So, yes, there were a lot of people who were really impacted from a business perspective. Most of WA just got on with it. They were just isolated from the rest of us.
Yeah.
And we missed them and they missed us. And, you know, we're a big family all over this country, so it was a shame. But on the whole, you've got to give it to them. They did a good job and they saved a lot of lives and they kept people living with relative freedom in a global pandemic.
Definitely.
So take my hat off, yeah.
And there is, and because they didn't have the lockdowns, I guess, that we had here in Melbourne as well, there's a level of fear over there that, oh, someone said to me, oh, where you were in Melbourne 2 years ago, and I had to say, no, well, you're not.
No, you're not. But there's that empathy, isn't it? People
yeah.
did watch us go through some pretty tough times.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I do want to, before we move off WA, I do want to say one thing. I went to a place called Kurrajini National Park, which is sort of halfway up, a bit over halfway up the state, not as far as
like north
Broome,
of?
North of Perth. It was in the sort of
the north of Carnarvon.
Yes,
yeah.
And it was absolutely amazing. One of the most beautiful places I think I've ever seen in this country.
What was the beauty?
So it's not desert. I mean, there's vegetation there and lots of animals, but there's lots of gorges, and you walk through these gorges and you think, oh, it doesn't look like much from the top, and you walk down and you're in these most beautiful watering holes that you can swim in, some very sacred indigenous places as well. It's a very spiritual place. It is absolutely stunning, and I would encourage anyone who gets a chance to go over to Kurrajini National Park. It was just beautiful.
How do you get there? Do you fly?
You fly from Perth into Parabudu, which is an airport. But the good thing is, Mark, when you catch the plane from Perth, there's probably three tourists on there, and the rest are miners in high-vis gear.
Yeah. Oh, I've got stories about Parabudu.
Which is really good. Hey, we got a message in from Mel saying, I went to the queer exhibition and absolutely loved it. So that's, of course, we're talking about Triple Bill?
Yep.
Sorry, yep, Triple
no,
Bill.
No, that's cool. The queer exhibition, I believe, at the NGV.
Oh, NGV, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so...
There you go, Macca. You can pick me up on that one. There's the first one. I went to the queer exhibition and absolutely loved it. I think Tony is one of the best directors of the NGV so far. Can't wait for the interview. That's
yeah,
from
he's a very, very interesting man.
Yeah, looking yeah, forward to it. Yeah. Tell us about your week.
It was pretty dull, actually.
No.
I've been in my job for 3 months, and I had my review yesterday.
Oh,
it went
did
very
you?
Well.
Oh,
it went very well. And it ended with, is there anything I need to improve upon? And they said, no, it's the first time
oh,
I've said that
really?
To someone. So I was thrilled with that. So, yeah, I'm loving it. It's unusual to find a job where you love it. Every moment of it is joy, and that's been a long time coming because I spent about 25 years not really enjoying what mm-hmm. I was doing. So, yeah, making a career change has been worth it.
Absolutely.
So I'm happy.
And which is something that Ash Barty has done too.
Yes, we were talking about this before.
Yeah.
And Jono mentioned it earlier. So what are your views on Ash Barty's retirement at 25?
Do you know what? First of all, congratulations on your positive review.
Oh, thank
well
you.
Done. I feel like you've just come home to the parents with the report card from school.
Yeah, and I didn't have to turn the C's into A's.
Well, yeah. Well done, Mark. You can go out and play
thank
today.
You. Exactly. Sandpit for me.
I think what Ash Barty has done is really good. I think, you know, it just shows that I feel like we're awakening into a sort of a stage where if our values don't align, our personal values with our work values, we start to think, hey, this is really uncomfortable. And do I want to spend the rest of my life doing this? And
yeah.
I admire her for doing it.
Yeah. Listened to a very interesting podcast this week about work capitalism and how companies, CEOs are decrying that they have to have a view on Russia sanctions and so forth, for example, and this is very topical at the moment, mm-hmm. And any other kind of social issue. But big CEOs are turning around saying, well, we have to because it's not just about us. It's about our customers. It's about the ecosystem in which we trade. And it's also about our employees, our leadership, and the people that work from every level of the organization who have a view as well. So we don't get to exempt ourselves from social issues that are going on around us. So it's not a matter of capitalism first. This is a big shift
yeah.
from a world that has been purely capitalist. So really interesting. We'd love to hear the listeners' views on how their ethical views are impacting on the way they live.
Definitely.
And how it's changing.
And of
let
course, Ash Barty, I mean, she is in a comfortable position. Not all of us can do that. We've got mortgages and commitments and things like that. But in principle, yeah, I think what she's done is great.
Yeah, good on it.
You're on Sat Mag.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.